The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here comes Daryl right here. Brought to you by Shivin' Jewelers.
Daryl?
Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Daryl?
Good morning, guys.
I'm not right.
I'm not singing along.
Daryl?
In the morning.
Can we get a dog check? It's game day. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go.
Come on, Daryl.
Yes.
Come on, get excited. Come on, you miserable bastard. Get excited. Let's go. Oh, what, Daryl.
Looking forward to watching Shador today.
Oh, God.
Get out of here.
You're just a walking fart. That's all you are. I swear to God. Oh, Mr. Journalism. All right, fine.
I am. I'm looking forward to watching Shador tonight. I'm excited about that. Looking forward to watching Carson Schlesinger.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, wait.
You were looking forward to watching Carson Schlesinger, are you?
Yeah. He's had a great camp. People love him.
Okay.
Harold Fannin Jr. having a great camp. People love him. Can't wait to see him.
Mr. Football, what have you thought of the rhetoric surrounding Shador Sanders these last 2 weeks?
It's been pretty ridiculous. Nationally, not, I mean.
No, that's fine. If you want to call me ridiculous, that's okay. I called myself ridiculous at 6 a.m. this morning for something I said yesterday.
These people that want to act like that the Browns traded up to get this kid only so they could just sabotage him. I've heard a lot of really dumb things. I mean, I do cover the Browns, but like that is the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. They can't comprehend that maybe their favorite player might have a little work that he needs to do before he can be in the position that ultimately everyone wants him to be in, and that's to be the starting quarterback of this football team. He's starting tonight because, well, there's a lack of availability from the rest of the quarterback room. They never really intended to draft him in the first place. They never really intended to draft him in April, but yet here we are. So, it's an opportunity for Shador to go out there tonight, make the most of it, show the Browns that he's further along than everyone believes him to be, and, give the Browns reason to reevaluate their quarterback processes. So, I am looking forward to seeing what he's able to do tonight and how he's able to operate the offense. Can he get him up and down the field? Can it be a smooth operation? Can he put some points on the board? Can he make some big plays? Can we see what we saw at Colorado with the explosive playmaking ability? All those things. I'm very curious as to where he's at in all of that.
Well, Daryl, I had to explain it like this because I was like, man, like if he goes out there and he doesn't do well and he didn't get any time with the ones, I get upset with Kevin Stefanski? And, Lima said he got a text from somebody in the NFL over that comment, and Albert Breer was questioning the comment. And I said, well, you know what? I will admit I'm willing to skip. I was thinking about skipping steps in this effort to dig us out of this hole that we've created for ourselves with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And it's a big, big hole. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself hoping here, but I'm like, yeah, damn it, I am. I just found out from Archie Manning that his grandson ain't going to go through the draft, which we already thought he wasn't going to go in the draft.
Yeah, but Jimmy told us that last week.
But immediately when he said that news came out from On3 yesterday, we started getting tweets and calls. You know why this is? Because of the Browns. You guys know why this is? Because of the Browns. And it's like, all right, so I take this guy off the board, and then I got these other guys that I'll say Drew Aller and a bunch of people will call me up and cuss me out. I'll say Lenoris Sellers. No one knows who the hell he is because he plays for South Carolina. I'll say a bunch of other names and nobody knows who they are. I trust either of those guys. So now I go, why can't it happen for us? Why can't we get the fifth round pick that falls to us? And you know what? For that matter, that sounds crazy. But I also get upset with those going, well, Ken, you got to treat him like a fifth-round pick. Do I? Mel Kiper was the one crying over him. He doesn't cry over other fifth-round picks. I had other people pounding the table. Lewis Riddick, how much is Lewis Riddick taking up for former fifth-round picks? How much? But Shedeur Sanders, damn, can't say enough about him. So I can't just treat him like a regular fifth-round pick.
Well, the Browns aren't treating Dylan Gabriel like a third-round pick.
Ooh, Daryl Reuter with the
tell
dagger.
Tell me more. How are they treating him?
They're treating him like a first-round pick. There are practices with a full, healthy quarterback room where he's first up in 11-on-11. And that's not just training camp. That's going back to minicamp. That's going back to OTAs. So that's why I've been so harsh on him. I'm evaluating him the way the organization is treating him. And that is a legitimate player, not a development player, but a legitimate player to play for this football team this year. So that's why I'm so harsh with him. He's not good. He's not an NFL quarterback right now. Maybe he will be someday. But right now, he's not. And I don't care if he can draw the playbook frontwards, backwards, on the whiteboard in a blink of an eye. I don't care. He can't play on the field, which is the requirement of the job. Now, if I could take Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and put them together, well, maybe you have a little something-something there all of a sudden coming out of the gate as a rookie. But neither one of these kids is ready to play, but the organization's treating one like he is ready to play, and they're treating the other one like he's, you know, light years away from being able to play. So, you know, that's why I have been speaking in the tone and terms that I have when it comes to these quarterbacks. It should be Joe Flacco week one. And, you know, then if circumstances dictate, then you go to Kenny Pickett, and circumstances dictate, then you go to Dylan Gabriel. But, you know, as I said earlier, guys, they never intended to draft Shedeur Sanders. They never intended to have him start the preseason opener, yet here we are. And unfortunately, when you talk about the Browns, to your point, Ken, about why can't it happen here, well, every time the Browns have a quarterback plan, there's always something that gets in their way, whether it's themselves or whether it's you know, circumstances like injuries and things like that, where they're always forced to deviate from the plan, even when they're doing their darndest to stay on the tracks with the plan. So, and we didn't even get to the first preseason game where they had to deviate from the quarterback plan. You know, they got six guys in the room and two available tonight. And, you know, but that's just the way it's gone. But I'm also of the belief that their best hope of finding that quarterback is to fall into it. Because I can't see any other way. They've tried, since 99, Ken, they've tried every route possible. They've tried the veteran. They've tried the washed-up veteran. They've tried the first overall pick. They've tried first-round picks. They've tried third, fourth, fifth, sixth. They've tried everything in the arsenal to come up with a quarterback. They've traded up for him, right? It hasn't worked. So the only thing that's left is what you just said. Why can't they just fall into somebody? And maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But that's where we're at.
In a weird way, can I tell you how disappointed I am to not be able to see Dylan Gabriel tonight? And I might be actually more disappointed that I'm not seeing him than I am excited to see Shedeur Sanders. And let me tell you this why. And this is definitely mental gymnastics to some level, I will admit. But
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that my trust, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was a jaw-dropping pick in the third round. You have not had anything nice to say about the guy professionally,
right?
As a quarterback.
I mean, great kid.
Yeah. So you haven't had anything nice to say about the guy professionally. Not a lot of other people have. I mean, Zach has been saying, like, this guy, he ain't got it. A lot of writers have been saying he ain't got it. And I'm thinking, my trust in their evaluation wasn't that great to begin with, and it's as shaken as it's ever been. And I'm like, man, this would have been at least an opportunity for him to go out there and look good and at least go, okay, they at least kind of know what they're looking at.
Right.
And now you don't even get that chance. Because I'll tell you what, if Shedeur goes out there and he looks good, you know the conversation with the fan base on Monday. Why are we even wasting time with the other guy?
100%.
Took the other guy in the third round.
You're right. Yep.
And I know it's different conversations between us and the building, But yeah. that's gonna make next week even more dramatic, and the week after that, even more dramatic after that, Daryl.
100%. Like I said, this is a golden opportunity for Shador tonight. And I'm not trying to put pressure on him, but it is, right? I mean, he has not gotten a lot of opportunities. He's having to do most of his work before practice, after practice. That's what led to the shoulder soreness, the starting and the stopping and all that kind of thing, right? This is the best opportunity with this organization since being drafted he's had. And so it's on him to make the most of it, right? And to show Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry and Tommy Reese and everybody else on the coaching staff and the folks in the locker room, hey, I can do this. You know, not perfect, not a finished product, but I can do this. So great opportunity for him tonight. And you know what? I agree with you with the Dylan Gabriel thing. Absolutely. Having him in live game situations as opposed to the practice and getting to see just where he's at as well, yeah, that's a big loss for the Browns tonight. No question about it.
All right, Daryl, if Shador balls out, we know he'll be the talk of the national media.
Yep.
Leading up over the weekend and into Monday.
They'll all be in Philadelphia next week to watch him against the Eagles.
Yes, they will. What does it actually do to that quarterback room?
I kind of feel like the Browns are firm in their convictions with a lot of things. And that's in ways, Anthony, that's a great thing, but also in ways it's not the best thing, if that makes sense. I don't think if he just absolutely goes scorched earth tonight, then they have no other choice but to give it an honest look and evaluation. But it depends if he goes scorched earth in the context of what Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Reese want offensively. You know, if he goes scorched earth because he's, you know, he's doing the Jonathan Moxon and just making stuff up as he goes along, I don't know that that helps his case a whole lot. But if he goes out there tonight and
I'll be his Billy Bob.
Yeah. But if he goes out there tonight and we need Miss Davis. Anyway, if he goes out there tonight and he is able to run this offense efficiently and run it in the manner that Kevin's looking for it to be run, and he's able to move it and put points on the board, and that, yeah, I would agree. Yeah, we know what the conversation's going to be, but the organization then has to kind of take a look at where he's at and say, maybe we should shake up this depth chart. Maybe he shouldn't be the fourth quarterback on said depth chart.
All right, no, Judy is not playing tonight, but why Tillman? And by watching Ja'Marr Chase play yesterday, do you think it's making the Browns think that, hey, maybe we do need to get some starters in there?
Well, they're going to get these guys in, and next week is going to be important, obviously, going against Philadelphia. And Kevin Stefanski's very big on getting starter reps in the preseason in controlled practices. That's his philosophy. And so this is not groundbreaking territory. Again, the outrage online never ceases to amaze me. People clearly haven't been paying attention to the last five training camps under Kevin Stefanski. This is what he does, is he doesn't play his key guys a whole lot in the preseason. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's different philosophies. We're seeing teams play their starters, and you know, we're seeing teams that don't. We're seeing starters get hurt and suffer season-ending injuries, whether it's in camp or in preseason games. It's unfortunate, but you know, that's just the attrition that is the National Football League. So I don't understand why people are all shocked and awed because you know, it came out that Kevin is sitting all the important players tonight. I don't know that I would consider Cedric Tillman a bona fide starter right now, but when you look at that wide receiver room, well, yeah, it's kind of hard not to say he probably should be compared to what's in there.
Do you think we're getting closer to seeing Quinshon Judkins or further away?
I have no idea at this point.
I have to ask.
No, I know you do, and I wish I had an answer for you. I'm not a lawyer.
The reason I ask everybody is because Daryl did post the court document from Broward County yesterday where Quinshon Judkins waived his right to a speedy trial.
Right.
Just for people just tuning in, Daryl posted that yesterday. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, and it's unfair for me to speculate as to the motives and what the lawyers think, and because I have no knowledge of what they're thinking. It could mean that either they're trying to get this thing pled out and settled and taken care of before it even sees a courtroom, similar to what happened last year with Mike Hall Jr., Or it could mean that he is going to defend himself to the fullest extent, and this may not see a courtroom till early 2026. And I don't know how the NFL's approaching this. I can't imagine the NFL wants to hand down a punishment when a legal case has not been resolved, because you could taint that process if you decide to punish him, because then the prosecutions, they see even the NFL said he did something wrong here. So I don't know. Any answer you're looking for, Ken, would be speculation, and that, unfortunately, it's just not fair to this process. We have to sit back and let it play out.
You can't do that. Now, Dara, I know you are the Browns beat reporter, but you're also our Cleveland sports insider. I want to ask your opinion on something here. The Guardians have turned it around to a great level, a great sweep of the Mets. They're right there in the thick of things in the wild card spot, only a game and a half out. They're now six games back, only six, of the AL Central, which seems like still a lot, but considering where they were before, it's remarkable. Can we thank Stephen Kwan for the turnaround? Stephen Kwan still being here.
I think that's part of it. I was against them even considering making that trade, at least during this season. I realize come the wintertime, they may have to seriously consider it. But considering everything that has transpired to this point, 10-game losing streak, you got two pitchers that can't pitch because they're under a gambling investigation. I'm pleasantly surprised that they are in the position that they're in. I said on my show a couple of weeks ago, I did believe they were going to win a wild card spot. I wasn't confident they're going to actually catch the Tigers, but I do believe they're going to win a wild card spot. And, they'll be able to say, hey, look at us. We made the playoffs again. I called that shot a couple weeks ago.
A team that was dead and buried are now going to have an October to remember.
Much different tone you have, Daryl, today than when you filled in for the guys a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what did he say?
I know.
Told your ass, Daryl.
The winds tend to change. Oh, listen, you mean to tell me those two guys sitting in those chairs have never changed their opinions on anything?
I'll save a seat for you over here in Playoffville.
I mean, really? Those guys have never changed an opinion ever?
Oh, no. I hate these guys, too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I respect your consistency, Owen. Thanks. Respect that.
Daryl, I'll see you in hell.
All right. Meet you there.
Daryl Ryder.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.